Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for joining us this morning. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. We're going to have something to say even about that today as we talk about our liberty in Christ there in Romans chapter 14. Hope that you've been keeping up, and if you haven't, remember, all you have to do is go to the on-demand section. There you can find the Mornings for the Master icon, click on it, and from there find those chapters you have missed and catch back up so that by the end of 2016, Lord willing, you have studied completely through your New Testament with us. We have several things that are on our bulletin board this morning we want to get to before beginning, let you know what's going on in the Brotherhood and events that are going on maybe in your area. Well, this week, the Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series schedule has changed just a little. Tonight, we will not be having our regular Monday night, but tomorrow night, July the 5th, at the Blodgett Church of Christ, we will continue our study of identifying with Jesus, reclaiming heaven's vocabulary, and the word is fear. Fear, one of those four-letter words you want to teach your children. Next week, Lord willing, the schedule will continue, and we will be in Maud, July the 11th, with worship. So mark your calendars for that. Also, continue to keep those young folks in Camp Ida in your prayers as the final session kicked off yesterday. And we'll be going on this week with Brian Braswell with his theme, Independence Day in Christ. If you weren't able to get your kids into Camp Ida this year, remember to keep it in mind for next year as we have those five sessions continued. Mark your calendars as well as the North Texas Family Summer Series for this year will kick off July the 7th, beginning with I Love the Cross of Christ with Robert Moss there at Briar Church of Christ. This year's theme, Why I Love Being a Christian. On July the 14th, they'll travel to Las Vegas Trail Church of Christ, where Richard Massey will be speaking, I Love Living Morally. And then July the 21st, at the Godly Church of Christ, Daryl Schroeder will have I Love Having Peace and Security. It continues through August the 18th, and as the dates approach, we'll give you more information about that. But you can give them a call at 940-329-0882, and they'll be glad to fill you in and get you a copy of that schedule. Mark your calendars as well for July the 10th. Going to have a mini lectureship at the New Boston Church of Christ, focusing on the family and what can be done. God's home is the theme, and it begins at 9:30 a.m. with Trevin Buchanan, and he will have A Place for Children. At 10:25, A Gift from God with John Warrens. 1 p.m., Husbands and Wives with J.J. Hendricks. 2 p.m., An Eternal Purpose with Andy Baker. And then at 6 p.m., Give Us Christian Homes with Kevin Colley. This is the New Boston Church of Christ, located at 610 North McCoy Boulevard there in New Boston, Texas. And you can get information by going to newbostoncoc.org or 903-628-2891. Then you're invited to a gospel singing Friday, July the 15th. This is going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Oak Grove Church of Christ, located at 14 County Road 3240 there in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Again, July the 15th, 7 to 9 p.m. Then over at the Shreveport, in Shreveport, Louisiana, the Blanchard Church of Christ invites you to a seminar, Prepare to Make a Defense. This will kick off Friday at 7 p.m. with Who Needs Apologetics? Saturday, we'll have two lessons, The Existence of God and the Reality of Suffering. Then Sunday morning Bible class will deal with question and answers. Where Sunday a.m. worship, the inspiration of the Bible. And then that evening will conclude at 1 p.m. with the fact and significance of the resurrection. Bart Warren is going to be conducting this seminar, and he works with the Warren Christian Apologetics Center and teaches Christian evidences at Bear Valley Bible Institute. You're invited to take part in this at the Blanchard Church of Christ. And then there's going to be a singing school at the Arklatex Camp, July the 31st through the 5th, and that is going to be for ages 10 and up. You can get information about this by giving a call to 817-798-6557. Teachers are going to be Andy Baker, Benjamin Bruce, Myron Bruce, and Christy Huntsman will be dealing with the young ladies. And then there will be also, in conjunction with Oak Grove hosting the Summer Youth Series in August, they're going to have their gospel meeting, and you're invited to be a part of that. That's going to be August 7th through the 11th with Mike Vestal. We'll give more information as that day quickly approaches. Well, we're going to take just a brief break, and when we come back, we will start our study in Romans chapter 14. Get your Bibles handy and your notepads, and stay with us. We'll be back.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, and thank you again for joining us today. Well, today we celebrate here in America our Independence Day, 4th of July, and we have Romans chapter 14, which deals primarily with the liberty that we enjoy in Christ on things that God has not given us direct command on what we should do, those things which are matters of opinion and scruples. And so he's going to be addressing this. As we begin, we want to remind ourselves that he's not talking about things of doctrinal matter. He's talking about things of matters of opinion, things that are doctrinal, things that God has given us the Bible authority to do or not to do, cannot be changed. And we must observe those things which God has commanded us. These are in areas which God has not given us specific law, but has allowed us to have our liberty. So we'll look at that in Romans chapter 14. Let's notice these first four verses as he's going to point out that weak brother. So what do we do? Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him to stand. So now he begins this with pointing out the idea of the weak. But to him who is weak. Weak in the faith, not the idea that the faith that we are to have in God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, or in Christ, John 8 and 24. But he's weak in some areas. There are some things that he's doubtful of. Even the idea of the new convert, and we'll even see this, maybe the idea of a Jewish convert who has an idea of clean and unclean meats. But he says, what do? You receive him. Receive one who is weak. And not for this disputing or doubtful things, or that you may have this derision towards him, not so that you may chastise him and to correct him or belittle him or make fun of him, but you receive him, and not for this disputing over his scruples. For one believes that he may eat, and one believes that he may not. We have this idea that is coming about, is going on even here, that some could eat meat offered to idols, some could not. One man has the faith to eat all things, and so he therefore eats whatever he pleases. But the other one, the one who is weak, and now notice what it says, the one who is weak is the non-meat eater. He's the one who's eating only vegetables. And it was the case that the Jews were accustomed to. There were things that they would not have consumption of meat, not just the unclean meats, but even here in such a Roman culture, there were meats that would be considered clean in and of themselves, but they wouldn't eat because they may have been offered to one of these idols. So all he's going to do is become a vegetarian and eat only vegetables so that he does not violate what he believes is wrong by eating the meat offered to idols. But he says, let not him who eats despise the one who does eat, and don't let the one who does not eat despise or judge him who does eat. So he points and addresses to both the weak, the one who's vegetable eating, and the one who is meat eating. He says, now you don't judge one another, don't despise one another over this. It's not the fact of what you're consuming that's going to be the problem. Notice what he says. For God has received him. Now, who's he speaking to? Is he speaking to the strong brother who is eating meat and says, you know what? Don't despise him for not eating meat because God has received him. Or is he speaking to the weak brother and saying, don't despise this man because he's eating meat, because God has received him? And the answer is yes to both. He's speaking about both. And the fact is, he's talking about things in the realm of liberty, not things of doctrine, but as we walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And so we have this fellowship with God, and if we have this fellowship with God, then therefore we as well must have fellowship with one another. And he points out God has already received him, so therefore you do the same. So who are you to judge another servant? Who are you to make this judgment, this type of judgment? You know, the fact is, you know, that some would say, oh, you cannot judge, ever judge anything. But the fact is that we can. We can judge, and we are actually commanded to judge in some instances. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, 22, John 7 and 24, judge righteous judgment. So if we're not permitted to judge anything, then as Brother Waycaster points out, we can't determine who's a false teacher. We cannot discipline a brother who's walking out of step. We cannot withdraw from an unrepentant brother. We cannot prove the spirits if we can't judge. But he's not talking about that right here. He's talking about the fact that who are you to make this type of judgment on another man's servant? God is the one. God hasn't given the law concerning this. And so we have the liberty. Brother Guy in Woods had this to say. He says, let it be noted that the matter involved is something about which God has given no law, but which a brother, uninformed, entertains scruples about. Example, eating meatball in the marketplace, to which it had been carried from the heathen temple. Wrong to eat? Yes, answers the weak brother. No, answers the strong brother. What does God say about it? Nothing. Is it actually wrong to eat meat? No. What should we do? Act in the best interest of the weak brother. And so here, that's what he's dealing with. We have a weak brother to whom he believes it's wrong to eat this meat. And what do we do about it? He's going to answer to his master. Now, notice verses 5 through verse 8. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. Now, we also have to remember even the context of the book of Romans and dealing with Jew and Gentile and problems there. And so we have this going on. And now he's saying that one person esteems a day above another. Now, he's not talking about the idea of, you know, religious holiday of the, you know, things that God hasn't commanded us to do, and man brings in some special days of observance. He's not dealing with that, Christmas and Easter and things of that nature. But what he is dealing with, even with this, are some of those things that maybe the Jews would have dealt with. Maybe it's the fact that the brother, this weak brother who thinks it's wrong to eat bacon, this weak brother who thinks it's wrong to work on the Sabbath day, because all of his life, if he's practiced and been commanded and taught, you don't work on Saturday. But then to the strong brother, he's going to eat his bacon and eggs, and he's going to go out and work on the Sabbath day on Saturday. To one, the day is nothing. It's just another day. To the other, he thinks it's something that he has to continually observe and keep, and he doesn't work that day. Well, he says that's up to them. Let the one be fully convinced in his own mind. There's the answer to it. Let each be convinced fully in his own mind. He who observes it to the Lord. He doesn't deserve it, does the same. They're both doing it because they think that it's right what they do according to God. But then we get to verse number 7. Let none of us, for none of us lives to himself or dies to himself. And it's not necessarily the fact, but it, you know, here in this context, that we're talking about, well, we have influence and our actions have consequences on others, and that's not necessarily what he's dealing with, because he says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. And so it doesn't matter if we eat or if we observe a day or what we do, we're doing it to God. We belong to him. We are the Lord's. Remember in Romans chapter 6, we were slaves of sin, verse 17, but now we're slaves of God and slaves of righteousness, even in that same verses, surrounding verses there. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, we are God's. Do these things. But then he continues. For to this end. For to what end? For to this end that we are Christ. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be both Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account to himself to God. And so he points out of to whom we will give judgment to. We will stand before in judgment. And he points this out and shows us without a doubt that it's not one another, but it is to God to whom we give account. And with that, he says, why are you judging one another? Who are you to be this judge? We think about this as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things which we've done in this body, whether they are good or bad. So then each one, he says, verse 12, each one of us will give an account to himself to God. There's not one of us who is going to escape the judgment. We're all going to give an account for the things that we have done. It's going to be by the standard of God's word, not man's word. Remember in John 12, 48 to 50. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There is the standard, and it will be based upon that. So what do we do about it? What do we do about the fact that there are strong brethren and weak brethren? Some have scruples about eating certain meats. Some have scruples about working on certain days. What do we do then? Well, he commands that we exercise brotherly kindness towards one another in our liberty. Notice verses 13 to 15. Therefore, because of this, because we're going to answer to ourselves for ourselves before God, therefore, because we have liberty to either eat or not to eat, therefore, he says, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Whatever it is, let's not cause the other to stumble in it. If it's a matter of opinion, we could go to a parallel type of scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul there says, therefore, if food makes my brother to stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother to stumble. He says, I'm not going to eat it anymore. And so we're not going to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. He says in verse number 14, I know and am convinced, I know and am persuaded by the Lord that there is nothing unclean in and of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Paul says here, even as in John chapter 6, where Peter states, therefore we know and am persuaded that you are the Christ. And here he says, we know, and I know and am persuaded that there's nothing unclean about it. For an idol is nothing. If you look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, notice what it says. Let's pick up there, verse 4. Concerning, therefore, the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that that no idol is anything in the world, and that there is no God but one. He says, we know this. There's nothing unclean of itself. An idol is nothing in the world. But howbeit, verse number 7, howbeit, there is not in all men that knowledge, but some, being used until now to the idol, eat as of a thing sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. And he says, that an idol is nothing, but to the man who counts it to be unclean, it becomes unclean. And so he's dealing with this. Nothing in and of itself is unclean, except if a man feels that it is. He violates that conscience. Yet if your brother is grieved, verse number 15, because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one who is weak. He says, now, if I'm doing this, it is the fact that I really am not loving my brother. I'd like for us to look over at 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, John gives us some information. And notice what he says there in verse number 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need of them and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, he says here's how we know love, that Christ laid down his life for us. Can we not then also lay aside the liberty that he allows us of eating of meat? He says, because if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Because your liberty has become more important to you than his soul. Because he says, do not destroy with your food the one who is weak. The fact that you have a Jewish brother now, and in all of his life, he's never eaten bacon, he's never eaten pork, he's never eaten catfish, and all of a sudden, you're ridiculing him and you're belittling him to the point where he, even though he believes it to be wrong with all his heart to eat this bacon, he may violate that conscience. You're going to destroy this weak one, this one for whom Christ died. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. That's how important this brother is. Just like every soul that will ever be saved is because Christ died for him. Now, notice in what he says, verse number 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. I like what Brother Waycaster said here on this. He said this good that is spoken of here is our Christian liberty. Our liberty, our freedom. We have been set free in Christ, and we are to preach that liberty. We are to encourage others to enter into that liberty. We are to manifest joy because of that liberty, but we must not take our liberty and push it to the point of causing a weak brother to stumble. Such action would cause and give the adversary occasion to blaspheme or speak evil of our liberty. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Do not push it so far, but, he says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's not about what we eat. whether it's clean or unclean, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He points out three things there. The righteousness. Oh, God has given us his instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good work. And it's about righteousness. Peter had said this in Acts chapter 10, when he perceived of a truth that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him. There is right living, righteousness, and peace that comes by right living. Being right with God brings peace. We're to live peaceable with God and with all men. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, would be yours. And so there is righteousness and peace and joy. Again, that whole book of Philippians dealing with joy, that this, when he says, there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And we have this joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Acceptable to God because he is living in righteousness and peace and joy, and with that, approved of men. Even if we consider Luke chapter 2 and verse number 52, when we think about Jesus and how he developed along his way, I think it's interesting he points these things out. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. We have the two. And so he says then, verse number 19, so then, because of these things, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. As much as within us, as it lies within us, let us live peaceably with all men. And so, therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace, and the things by which we may edify one another. I think of what Paul would tell the brethren in Philippians chapter 2, when he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, esteem each better than himself. And let each one of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Put others before self. We follow after things that make for peace and things that are things that edify. We encourage and not pull down. We build up. And so in matters of liberty and opinion, there should not be division and strife. And so then he goes on and he says, concerning that, we are to pursue those things that make peace and edify one another. And verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. He says, it is the fact that God didn't make it unclean any longer. It is indeed that all things are clean. But if a man eats, he eats with offense if he believes it to be wrong. Notice as he points this out and continues. He says, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which my brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Again, we consider what Paul said in Corinth, to the church in Corinth. He said, if my eating of meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat it no longer. As long as the earth stands, I will not eat meat. Sometimes we talk about our weak brother and say, well, he's going to have to get strong. He's going to have to overcome some of these things. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, your brother has this problem, and it's in a matter of liberty. If it's going to cause him to sin against his conscience, and against God, then I'm going to give it up. I'm not going to cause it to stumble or offend or is made weak. 22, do you have faith? Then have it to yourself before God. If it's the case that you can eat it, eat your bacon in your own house so that it doesn't cause the other to fall. Why? Because happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. You know, you approve and think that it's fine. Well, do it behind closed doors there. Don't cause him to stumble. Why? Because, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Now think about this. Here he says there is a point of liberty that was not a sinful action, but it can be. Why? Because the brother pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. Again, let's just use the eating of bacon, because I like bacon. Let's use the eating of bacon. And the Jew said, I can't eat that. This Jewish convert, this new convert to Christ who's come out of Judaism, he'd been living under this forbidding of eating this meat for all of his life. And he says, there's no way I can eat it. I mean, Peter had to have a vision twice in Acts chapter 10 when he says he was told to kill and eat. And he said, God, Lord, I have never. He had to have another vision. So it's not the fact that it's wrong to eat it, but he believes with all his heart that he would be sinning against God if he ate. And now, because of that, he knows in his heart. His heart says, if I do this, I'm sinning against God. And God said, that's right. If you think that doing this is sin against me, and now you do it, you've sinned. So, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Therefore, that's how I destroy my weak brother. Because I push him to the point and ridicule him to the point that he violates even his conscience. And now when he violated his conscience, he violated God. There's freedom that we have in Christ. But freedom can also cause others to fall. We must yield our liberties for the sake of others. And we do not have division and disruption of fellowship in areas of liberty and opinion. In areas of doctrine, we must always have unity with Christ. We can't put those things away. But Paul points this out, and we have it even here. Well, chapter 14 is over, and Lord willing, tomorrow, Ryan and Chip will take a look at the chapter 15 of the book of Romans. Until then, remember, you have listening opportunities throughout the day. Morning Point will be on in just a moment with Denver Horton, followed by the Good News Today with Jim Dearman, and then Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy. But tune in each and every weekday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Mornings for the Master here from Mount Vernon, Texas. Until next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.